بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed all of us in these days that have passed of the month of Ramadan with the ability to make the best and most of the opportunity that He's provided us with. Today, on the fifth day of the month of Ramadan, we'd like to go over the dua that we've received from the Ahlul Bayt and try to understand it a bit. There's a feel that there's a progression that we see in the du'as as the days go by. And let's see if we can see that all the way through. The du'a reads, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma ja'alni fihi min al-mustaghfirin, waj'alni fihi min ibadika al-salihin, waj'alni fihi min awliyaika al-muqarrabin, bira'fatika ya arham ar-Rahimin. First thing we ask for is for God to make us one of those who is al-mustaghfir, okay? Someone who's asking for forgiveness. Ghufran is forgiveness. Istighfar is to ask for forgiveness. So when we say astaghfirullah, we're saying I'm asking God for forgiveness of the sins. Normally, that's what we say, for the sins that we have committed. A few points to make note of on this dua. Number one is when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that are doing istighfar, well, obviously that tells us that we should be doing istighfar on a regular basis. Every day there should be istighfar. The Holy Prophet used to do istighfar every day at least 70 times. The Holy Prophet asking for forgiveness 70 times. For the likes of myself and all of us, there definitely needs to be even more than that. But at the very least, we can do what the Holy Prophet did. 70 times every day, istighfar. That's one thing that it tells us. The other thing that can be taken from this maybe is, well, some people are already maybe saying istighfar. They're saying astaghfirullah. Why are we saying that, oh Allah, make me one of the mustaghfirin on this day? Saying istighfar and being a real mustaghfir, someone that's doing istighfar, asking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, are not necessarily one and the same. Meaning that many times saying istighfar is just saying it, saying the words, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubuli, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubuli. Repeating that a number of times. But one's mind is not there and we're not actually asking for his forgiveness. Istighfar, if a person, I think we even have this in hadith, a person was saying astaghfirullah and the imams caught him saying that, they told him, do you even know what you're saying? You're being disrespectful. If you're saying God forgive me, do you really feel you need to be forgiven? Do we really feel that we've done something that is not appropriate, is a sin in the presence of God, and we are wanting to get close to Him, and this sin of ours is an obstacle between us and God, and we need Him to forgive us? So we should feel ashamed, we should feel regretful when doing istighfar, when asking for forgiveness. If that's not there, then just saying istighfar, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayk, that's not necessarily being a mustaghfir, someone who's seeking forgiveness. It's someone who's saying astaghfirullah. There's a difference between a person who's seeking forgiveness and someone who's saying astaghfirullah. I could say it 50 times right now, but I'm not seeking forgiveness, I'm just saying astaghfirullah. So we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are seeking forgiveness. So that's the second point. A third point that needs to be mentioned is about the importance of this. concept of istighfar. The Holy Quran mentions the believers are those that are al-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. And that's when the Holy Prophet did the 70 times istighfar. Bil-ashar. Ashar is the plural of sahar, which means before Fajr. The time before Fajr is referred to, the end of the night is referred to as sahar. That time, doing istighfar is the best time. Now, the time isn't something that I'm focusing on right now. The verse says the true believers are those that have a few qualities. One of them is al-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. They're doing istighfar. That shows this is very important in self-building, in progressing towards the proximity of the divine. Istighfar and seeking his forgiveness is a key, is important. Without that, it's not going to happen. Now, why is this so important? And what if one progresses to a stage or a state that they are no longer committing sins, like the Holy Prophet, like the Ahlul Bayt? They're not committing sins. So why is this still important for them? They're doing istighfar. They're not just trying to teach us. They're doing it for their own sake. And obviously, us knowing about that, seeing them, observing them, knowing about them doing istighfar, we're going to be learning from that as well. But they weren't doing it to teach us. They were doing it for their own sake. Istighfar is something important, even if one has moved above the stage where they're committing sins that are haram. Unfortunately, the likes of myself, we're still stuck in that first step. We're not able to control our temptations, our desires. We are committing haram. And then we're doing istighfar for it, hopefully, if we do istighfar. But this is important even if we go above and beyond that. Because of the realization that what I am doing, as we have in some of the other du'as, the dua that I am doing, the prayer that I am performing, the connection with God that I have, which we consider to be good, these are our good deeds, that if you scrutinize it, you realize that it's so deficient, it would be considered shirk. Therefore, it requires, that itself also requires istighfar. We have this in some of the du'as, that if a person whose good deeds are not good, and they, in my words, deserve to be, for one to ask forgiveness for doing that, for performing the prayer that they did, for performing the prayer that we do. If a person, his good deeds are bad, much less are his bad deeds going to be considered, or what are they going to be considered? So even if a person has moved beyond committing haram, istighfar is recognizing the deficiency that I have, the deficiency in my actions, in my deeds, in my thoughts, in my connection with Allah, and we're asking Him to make up for these shortcomings, for these problems that exists in our behavior. So it's something very important, and we need to be engaged and involved with, regardless of where we're at. Of course, obviously, this is, I don't know if we can find anyone today that is at a stage where they're not committing any sins. Usually, if we have that illusion or delusion that we're not committing sins, it's probably because we don't even know what the sins are. We have a short list of sins that we think we're not committing anymore, but there's a longer list that we're not even aware of. We need to go and check the risala of our marja, figure out what haram is, figure out what wajib is, then we'll realize that it will be very difficult to take that first step and to avoid sins completely so that we never commit sins again. So we're asking in this dua, O Allah, make us of the ones that are constantly asking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. Secondly, it says, وَاجْعَلْنِي فِيهِمْ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. O Allah, make me in this month, on this day, one of your servants that are الصالح, righteous. Being a righteous servant of the Divine, we can sort of understand that. I think everybody wants to be a divine righteous servant of the Divine. Everybody wants to be a good person. But what does it exactly mean to know what we're asking for? I will repeat that line, that when we ask, we need to really know what we're asking for, what we are wanting, to then be taking steps towards that as well. Salih means, as we just translated, righteous, but to be a bit more specific, it means someone that all of what comes out of them, all of what manifests from them, is good. There's nothing evil in any way that comes from them. No evil words in any way. No evil actions in any way. No evil thoughts even in any way. That is someone who's completely and 100% salih. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the salihin. Once we understand what a great status salih is, salih doesn't mean just someone who has a big beard and on their forehead a mark of sajda and a big tasbih and they say astaghfirullah subhanahu. This doesn't mean they're righteous. Righteous is someone, the salih that is mentioned here, is someone that the only thing that comes out of them and manifests from them is good. Good words, good deeds. That's it. There is nothing evil, wrong that comes out of this person. This is why the prophets have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. الْحِقْنِي, according to some of the interpretations, when that prophet is asking God, one of the previous prophets, when he says أَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, he's saying that I'm not one of the صالحين right now, but in the hereafter, help me join and accompany those who are صالح. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Prophets were wanting to be with and join the salihin. This is not a very regular status that a believer is going to have. We're asking for God to make us one of those. And what it follows up with is, وَاجْعَلْنِي فِيهِمْ مِنْ أَوْلِيَائِكَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. If a person becomes salih, then they're going to become this as well. One of the awliya, someone who has a relationship of wilaya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wilaya is a difficult word to translate to any language. It's a sort of a relationship between two beings or two individuals. And it's a very tight relationship between the two. So it says awliya, there's a close relationship. And the word muqarrabin is mentioned, a close relationship. So wilaya itself has that in it, but there's an emphasis on taqarrub, being one of the muqarrabin. In other words, the wilaya of Allah is gradational. If a person becomes a good believer, even if they're committing some sins, they're still somewhat in the wilaya of God. They will be of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah at the end of what we refer to as Ayatul Kursi, which is actually three verses. The last one says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Person who is alladhina amanu, a believer, they've entered that wilaya of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them from the darkness they're in towards light. But they keep moving towards light and moving until they reach the state of muqarrabin. People that are in the proximity of the Divine. That's a great status. Something that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great saints, the greatest of the greatest believers would be longing for and wanting to have. This is a great dua to have, and a great supplication, and a great request, and it's very lofty, and we have to make sure we really want this and ask Him. Now, none of this is going to be possible except what the dua ends with, بِرَأْفَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحَمِينَ. Through your mercy, I'm asking you and begging you. In other words, I don't deserve this. When we start to feel that we want to progress towards that lofty spiritual goal, sometimes we start feeling that we deserve something. Sometimes we start feeling, why isn't God helping me? Sometimes we start feeling, why am I not getting a teacher? Why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting that? Well, that means we feel we deserve something and God isn't giving it to us. Whereas actually, we don't deserve anything. If He gives, it is through His mercy. بِرَأْفَتِكْ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحَمِينَ. The one who is the most merciful amongst those who have any mercy. We ask Him, based on His and through His mercy, that He gives us all of the good things that the Imams have taught us in this dua to ask Him for. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.